This Al's brother character, I'm telling you, he's going to get voted off the island. This guy is questioning a former player. In our group chat, we're discussing thoughts and stuff, and Luke will say his little blurb, and this guy comes back with 2 pages of, you know, the nonsense research he comes up with, and then he finishes it off with, these are my thoughts on that point you just made. I'm like, this guy is going to tell him to get out of the group, off the team, everything.
Well, I'm not surprised, and I knew this was coming. Like, at some point, Al's brother is going to let everyone else know, you, Luke Wilson, Super Bowl champion, doesn't matter. He has the final say, right? He's the professor. You two are the students. Because this is his world we're living in. And he doesn't care what Luke has to – like, you brought in Luke. You can bring in Tom Brady. You can bring in Belichick. You can bring in Joe Montana. He doesn't care. He's made up his mind, and he's going to go with what he thinks is right.
I think the Finns are frauds.
Yeah, exactly.
If Luke said, you know what, we're picking Detroit and the Commanders every week, I got a feeling about this, I'd be like, that's our pick. This Al's brother is not – he makes the call.
That's right.
There's some pushback. It is from Al's brother. But
it's kind of impressive, actually. Most guys would not say boo.
It's very impressive. Luke Wilson was in the league like 2 years ago, and Al's brother's telling him to take a lap. And his information sucks.
It's only impressive if what Al's brother says comes true. Week after week, he's got the most polished turd that
he does.
That he
That's
talks
exactly
about.
What it is. It's
and
a,
then
it's
all of
a
sudden,
Tiffany box with dung in it. That's all it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So he polishes it up a turd and then says, you know what? There we go. Like, and we all buy it. We go, wow, that sounds amazing.
I got to ask Luke, the first thing I have to ask, I just want to say, the first question is, what are you making of these texts coming in with the info that this person is giving you? Can you please inform me what you think of it?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, he's coming up in half an hour. So we'll get to the bottom of how he feels about receiving pushback and effectively being told, actually, you're wrong. Your line of thinking is stupid. And here's why my line of thinking is correct.
He has not said, Luke, if he says one more, like if he ever said, Luke, you're wrong, I'm deleting him from the chain.
Right.
He hasn't said that, but there is pushback. There is no question.
All right. Well, listen, he's the GM of the team. It's a team that doesn't go anywhere. It's like a miracle that he's still employed, but he is the GM of the team. So we got the Thursday nighter tonight, Indianapolis at Denver. I believe it's my pick tonight, and the Broncos are at home, favored by 3.5. So we'll get into that with Luke in about 25 minutes. Alex Anthopoulos will join us here in just a moment. And Alex, it's got to be a great feeling if you're one of the 4 teams that just gets to put your feet up and watch these, you know, wild card teams battle it out, mm-hmm. right? You guys go ahead and play. You guys go ahead and stress out. You go ahead and feel the pressure. We're going to be not only sitting at home, when you're done with that, you're coming into our house. So the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Astros, they're not hitting the road. We're just sitting around waiting, getting prepared, game planning. It's got to be, I would think, a very empowering feeling.
Tell you
it?
What, Hayes, a lot of the, like, you watch any of the ESPN baseball, a lot of their, you know, when they do their picks just like we do, a lot of people, it's Braves. Braves again.
How could it not be? They've been the hottest team in baseball the second half of the year. And like, they were 10.5 games back of the Mets. The Mets won 101 games, and they caught them. Like, that's just a remarkable feat, and they won the World Series a year ago. So, yeah, I don't see – I mean, I think the American League is the underdog, even if it is Houston that gets there. And Houston's a very good team.
Without a question.
The Yankees are a good team.
Yeah.
But clearly the Dodgers and the Braves, I think everyone is hoping for an NLCS featuring Atlanta and LA, because those are the clear-cut 2 best teams in baseball. I would include Houston, include New York, both New York teams. And the Braves, you know, they did it last year. Once you punch your ticket, it just changes the way everyone feels about you, right?
Right.
Like, you win a World Series, it's like, all right, how can you picture them not doing it again? considering what they just doubled down on. It would have been so easy for a World Series hangover. Maybe they had it the first 2 or 3 months. Maybe they let the Mets, you know, who were sober, go ahead, get a 10.5 game lead. And then we're going to sober up in June, and guess what? Here we come. And that's exactly what happened. 10.5
game lead is usually lockdownville.
Absolutely. 10.5 game lead is a
massive lead. Like, even the Yankees, they were way ahead, but they didn't choke it away. Like, it never, like, people were talking, oh, maybe the Jays can actually close the gap. No, they didn't do it.
Nope.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a time where the Yankees were on thin ice there. They were sinking quick. Like, Judge was the only, his season is basically the only reason why they didn't, you know, have an 18-wheeler. Like, it was ugly for
it was.
What, 5 weeks.
They didn't do it.
It was ugly for more than that, Noodles. It was almost 2 months. Like, it was like 50 games. It was like a third of the season. They were under 500. Jeez. But the difference was the Jays, the Rays, Boston, Baltimore, none of them could do what the Mets or what the Braves did. Yeah. Right? Like, it's one thing for a team to kind of come back to earth. It's another for the other team to take off.
And it also helps when you start the season 81-0.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Understandably so. Anyway, so Alex Anthopoulos will join us here in a moment. We were talking about Alek Manoah in the previous hour and him saying the only thing pressure is for your tires, which is a great, I think, mic drop type of comment, but now you got to follow through on that. Yes. And as I said in the last hour, this is the final hurdle for him to kind of officially reach, like, not legendary status, but status of, you're an ace, you've arrived, because there is no moment too big for you, because it'll be a packed house tomorrow. It'll be a closed dome, 45,000 people going nuts, and he's never experienced it before. He's never pitched playoff baseball, and that's precisely what Alek Manoah will experience tomorrow afternoon. But as we mentioned, there's four teams in baseball are sitting home and sitting pretty, man. They don't have to worry about a thing this weekend. And I wonder if Alex is maybe celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving down in the States, understanding that he's just kind of sitting back and watching, because the Atlanta Braves, as we know, won the NL East, and they have a bye through the wild card round. And here he is, the GM of the Braves and the president of baseball operations. Here is Alex Anthopoulos joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Any Canadian Thanksgiving plans this weekend, Alex, or what?
I'm going to watch the Jays tomorrow, guarantee you that. I'm excited to watch all these playoff games, and I'm excited. Actually, my family, because we don't play till Tuesday, we have, you know, we're off today and tomorrow, and then we're going to have an official workout Saturday, Sunday. But they're actually going to head back, and my wife is going to head back and see family with the kids. And so they'll be in Toronto tomorrow. But I'm excited for the city, just knowing what it's like and how electric it is. And I love the fact that, like, the world, when the team's in the postseason, the world gets a chance to see the city and the fan base and everything else. It's cool. It's a great experience, and everyone gets to see what a great spot it is and great organization and obviously the fans. So it's going to be fun, and I just like the fact that we don't know who we're playing yet. We can get a little bit of a break. I'm so fried and exhausted by the season, by our three games against the Mets, and then we went to Miami, and even that, there was an element of stress because this went down to the wire, and winning 100 games for the first time as a GM and knowing that it came down to the second to last day was kind of crazy. But I am just going to try to enjoy games tomorrow and do a little bit of work, but just sit back and enjoy it.
Can you take us through the journey, being 10 back of the Mets, and ultimately what happened? Just how did that happen for you guys? How fun was that to watch?
Oh, it wasn't fun at all. It's awful. I'm not kidding. It's not. It's stress, right? It's not. You're not sitting there, you know, like, look, you get to 10.5 back. You're like, it's going to be rough. But you know that you just have to keep grinding. And, you know, the cliche of take it a day at a time. We really do, right? We don't. Like, I'd always get asked about all the time media, well, how you're so many games back and this and that. And we just weren't playing well. We weren't good. You know, and my answer, and it was true, was, and I'd say it to in the clubhouse or to ownership, like, we need to get our house in order ourselves. Like, forget what everyone else is doing. Like, it's not going to matter. Even if those teams fall, like, we're not good enough right now. We need to tighten it up and get things cleaned up and just get going. So, you know, every year I've been here, this is 5 in a row, I've been here, and every year there's a story to every season. You have to kind of find yourself and make changes and tweaks and this and that. And look, we expected to have a good team coming into the year. We just didn't get off to a good start. But we ultimately knew the talent was there. We just needed to find our groove. And as we kept playing better and it started getting close, then you're like, man, we have a shot at this thing. But you know, the goal is to get in, obviously to win the division. But as long as you're in, you have a shot. You know, so, of course, it's easier if you win the division. It's definitely easier if you get a bye. But it doesn't mean for those teams that don't that they can't do it. They absolutely can, especially if those teams can win two in a row. Then you still get the off days and you can still move forward.
So when you're 10.5 back, do you change like the home screen? Is it the wild card standings at this point that you're more focused on, or do you always allow the NL East to take, you know, center stage?
I mean, you know, I have the MLB app, so it's always, you know, it's you pick your team, so obviously it's Braves, and so it'll always show up. That division will show up first, and so on. But you know, you don't really scoreboard watch that much early on, especially we just needed to get things going. But look, as we started to chip away, you started thinking, you know, we have a shot at this thing. And you know, we knew we had a ton of games left against the Mets, and it's very similar to 2015 Toronto, where you know, we hadn't played well, our run differential was really good. We had a bunch of games against the Yankees still left. So we knew that if we got it going, we still could to get there and win the division and so on. So same type of thing. We didn't play New York much early on, and we knew we had time. But, you know, as we're playing better and we're doing what we need to do, and, you know, the way the season works is you're trying to stay alive and stay close, and you're trying to basically be in a position at the trade deadline where you want to add. And because you know you're unlikely to do anything before the end of July unless it's internal stuff. So we went to, you know, you only have so many cards to play. So, you know, we call guys up, you move guys around, you do all that stuff, and you hope that that buys you enough time and you're kicking the can down the road and you're trying to just get to the first 4 months of the season and keep yourself alive and keep yourself close. And then finally, you know, teams will finally engage you and be active. You know that you've got a second wave of options to consider at the trade deadline. But you can call teams in May and June, and they're not going to hang up the phone on you, but it's very difficult to get someone to engage in trades early. So you're on your own for the first 4 months, and you have to try stuff the entire way. But as we kept playing better and we were getting closer, we thought it was more real. But, you know, we always had the playoffs in mind, and if we could win the division, even better.
Was there a TSN turning point for you when you started to chip away, like, you know, a moment where you're, I don't know, did you go into the clubhouse and you have to raise your voice, or was your manager, was there a moment in time where you knew, okay, that was the time that we were able to turn it around and put it all together, or was it a slow build and you just chipped away at that lead?
Good plug on the TSN turning point there.
Yes.
But, and I don't think
veteran.
Our guys down in the clubhouse, I don't think our guys in the clubhouse would know what I mean when I say TSN turning point. But you know what? Normally, I guess in past years, I'd say there would be a moment or a game or a series. But I would say this. We actually, when I look at it now, when I'm first time I've been asked this question, we went to New York the first time early in the year, we split the series, and then we went in late and we lost 4 out of 5. We just have to trade deadline, and that was a big series. And I think everyone's like, it's over for us and so on. And we had a series in Miami. We had 4 games in 3 days. We had some starters banged up. We had to use a lot of our kids. And we had the Mets coming in the following week. So I remember when I was there, you know, a year ago at this time, you know, we got asked by our players to put an ice cream machine in the clubhouse. We finally did it. They swore we would win if we did it. So obviously, if it works, great. So I just did it. A soft serve ice cream machine. So we're playing Miami, and we had the Mets coming up after Miami, and we had to move our starters back because we had the Mets and the Astros right after Miami, which were like, this is the stretch of the season for us because these are really great teams, and we swept the series, the 4 games. But I remember Travis d'Arnaud, our starting catcher, came to me and said, hey, can we get the ice cream machine back? I'm telling you. Because they had it in the visiting clubhouse when we played the Red Sox, and we won both games. I'm telling you, it was great vibes. The guys are getting around the machine. They're hanging out. That's why we won the games. And we knew we were facing Scherzer and DeGrom in the 4-game series against the Mets. So I'm like, what are the chances we're going to, you know, sweep the series or take 3 out of 4? I said, all right, Trav, if you can win 3 out of 4 against the Mets, the ice cream machine comes back. So we won 3 out of 4 against the Mets. After Kenley Jansen gets the save, these guys are all on the I-5 line doing the soft serve, pulling the thing like they're getting ice cream. They're all yelling ice cream. And we got the ice cream machine the following day, and we played the Astros. We played them. We won that series as well. And we really just, you know, we had been playing better, but we started to roll.
So the TSN turning point was soft serve ice cream.
For millionaires.
That what you're telling us?
For
yeah, and I'll give another plug. We initially got some machine. It didn't go that well. And then Chick-fil-A stepped up, which is got one there in Toronto. I think close to the Eaton Center. And they actually stepped up and gave us one with, you know, well, a year ago it was kind of a generic one. This year they got all kinds of flavors and toppings. It was a legit high-end soft-serve Chick-fil-A ice cream machine. It's still in there. Look, it'll be gone at the start of 23. But if it helps us win in 22, I'm all in.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering exactly, did you have like an ice cream truck for the final series against New York and Atlanta? Because you
guys
swept them.
I mean, if we need a Ferris wheel to help us win, I'm doing that too. So whatever works.
Well, it did, because in that series, I mean, this most recent one, as you know, you faced DeGrom and Scherzer again. Like, it's like the way you speak of them, clearly it's out of respect. Like, those two are just phenomenal talents.
Oh. Yeah, look, they're a great team, right? They won over 100 games as well. Their rotation's amazing. Those two starters are as good as you're going to find in the game. And, you know, that means our starters and our bullpen, our offense, everything needs to click to beat those guys. And, look, we knew our path to the division is at minimum we had to win 2 out of 3 to stay alive. And to put it in our own hands, we needed a sweep. And the fact that our guys stepped up and did that, and the Mets knew that obviously they just needed to win one game, and then they were in the driver's seat as well. So with everything going on and how good those guys, and, you know, we lined up our starters, they lined up theirs. We had lost one of our best young starters in Strider, but we still felt good with the other three that we had going out there. And for them to come through and win 3 in a row in that kind of series, they were playoff games. It was... We all talked about it before. It was a playoff series for us. I'm sure it was a playoff series for them. It was, the energy was incredible. And I do think the experience of the past 4 years helped us in series like that, because our guys now, they're very even keeled. They're very calm. And I think they've experienced everything. And I think that's really come through in times like this.
Alex, you said you're going to watch the Jays. What is that experience like for you when you turn that on? Is it, I mean, some people that have been let go by organizations, they're hate watching. There's some people it's in their blood. They played for an organization. They might coach somewhere else, but they still love that team that they played for, and they love watching it. What's your experience like watching the Jays?
Yeah, mine's good. You know, look, obviously it's not to rehash 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was, but obviously it was a choice I made to leave. Very hard one, but look, I could have stayed at the same time, right? And who knows where I'd be in my career, or would I still be there today? You know, that's impossible to know, but look, it worked out in the end. You know, it was a lot of twists and turns for me. But, you know, I was offered a great contract and, you know, given an opportunity there, and obviously always going to have pride in Canada, being Canadian. Family still was there. Now, a lot of my family on my wife's side, they're big Jays fans, you know, and they're obviously going to follow the Braves. But I've even told, you know, my relatives and so on, like, I've had to change teams, L.A., Atlanta. You know, you guys can stay Jays fans no matter what at all times. You know, you can still cheer for us. And I'm always going to have ties to that place. So, and I still have friends there, obviously, and people that I like and enjoy and people I had relationships with and the people. So I want to see them do well. I'm excited about it. I still, like we talked about in the past, I still follow the Leafs. I still follow the Raptors. Though I am a Hawks fan, like big Atlanta Hawks fan, because I get to go to games with my son, and the organization has treated me great. And I do follow the NFL team as well. But I do follow those teams, and it's fun, you know. And I like the fact that being here in the States – that people will be talking about what an awesome environment. And, you know, I'm proud when people ask, where are you from? What have you done? I'm Canadian. Grew up in Montreal. Lived in Toronto. Like, that's a source of pride for me. So it's a chance where I get to stick my chest out at the same time because they're going to put on a great show, the fans and the organization.
Well, that's definitely a two-way street. I think I can speak for all of us up here in Canada saying, you know, we're tracking your success, and it's been one hell of a ride. And I'm curious, you know, with your own guys, whether it's in Atlanta, you know, back in the day when you're up here in Toronto, we're chatting with Alex Anthopoulos. We were mentioning what Alec Manoah said today. Manoah's taking the mound tomorrow, and he's been lights out. I mean, we're not telling you anything you don't know, Alex, but his whole season has been phenomenal for such a young kid. But he's saying, you know, we're peaking at the right time. We feel good about our game. There's no pressure. We're just going to go out there and ball. Is like, how do you? What do you want to hear out of your players before the playoffs start? Do you want them to ooze confidence? Do you want them to be a little bit more subdued? What kind of advice do you have for your players when talking about the upcoming playoffs?
I think, you know, one, playing well going in is always a good thing. Being confident, a good thing as well. And I think back to, again, we hadn't been in the postseason in forever. 2015, those first two home games against the Rangers, I think our guys were so amped up. We made a bunch of errors. We lost the games. And we are a great defensive club. And I never asked the players about it, even after the fact. Were we too amped up? Were they? But they were uncharacteristic. You know, those the way we lost. They were uncharacteristic losses. We were a really good defensive club, and we just didn't end up playing well. So, look, in a short series, anything can happen. Bad breaks, errors, things like that. But we finally, obviously, did settle in and won the next three, and we were a really good team. But there was some nerves there. But I do think, like, you take a guy like Stroman, who had swagger, confidence, you know, he had never experienced the postseason before, and he stepped up. So I think certain guys have a mentality. I always, you know, Jose Bautista had never been in the postseason, but you just knew he lived for the moment, loved the moment. The more people in the stands, the better he would perform. So there's a sense that even though some guys don't have experience, you just have a sense of certain guys that they want the ball, they want the moment at the plate, they're wired that way, and you just have a sense that those are the guys that are going to end up playing really well. So I think it comes down to the mentality of each guy, and most of those guys with swagger and confidence will certainly show up.
Well, enjoy the weekend. You guys get to sit back and watch other teams just battle it out and duel and try to get through, and then you'll be home free come Tuesday back down in Atlanta. So congrats on a great season. Good luck with the pursuit of a back-to-back World Series, and we always appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Alex.
All right, guys. Really glad to do it. See ya.
You got it. Alex Anthopoulos joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
I can't believe that the players went to the manager and was like, can you put some ice cream in our dressing room? We'll play
better. The best part is Noodles, where he has talking with ownership saying, we need to get our house in order. And then the players come to him and say, can we get a soft serve ice cream machine? His head must have wanted to pop off of its body. He's just leaving the owner's office saying, get your you-know-what in order. And then he's got 20 guys making zillions of dollars asking for an ice cream machine.
This is where sports are different, right? Like, that different sports are different, like baseball compared to basketball, football, hockey. Like, I just can't imagine. I can't fathom that thought. Like, I know baseball is just a relaxed sport in certain situations, and we see it with the Jays. The guys, they're losing, doesn't matter. They're in the dugout having a good time, laughing it up. But it's just, I could never have, as a player, gone to my coach or gone to my GM and be like, hey, really, you know, would enjoy some donuts in the back. You know,
right.
The guys,
they had it in Boston. Come on. Why don't we have it? Now, you'd think they'd be playing with house money. They did just win a World Series.
That's right? Fair. That's fair.
And I love how he said after – you know, they close out a game, everyone's out there doing the soft serve, like mimicking the soft serve.
No, but what about the one guy telling him, he's like, come on, man, it's good chemistry. Guys are hanging around the ice cream machine, talking like everyone's together. That is the most ridiculous thing.
What do you think the trainer's
I've ever
thinking?
Heard.
Like, all I can think about is now, again, different body types, all of that type of stuff. But guys, like, you know, having that type of junk in the room.
Yeah, what about the nutritionist? Like, what does the nutritionist think of the ice cream machine being delivered by Chick-fil-A?
And maybe there's a guy who carries too much weight as it is, and you see four or five times going up there. Like, I've seen it on the road.
I'm so excited!
Steve Ballmer sitting there. I think that could be actually somewhat of a grueling endeavor. If you're a dude that's, you know, tipping the scales and you've been told to stay off it, it's the last thing you need in the clubhouse.
Of course.
You'd be so self-conscious, you'd be thinking everyone's watching you. You know, yes. Like you're, and then, you know, if you want to go for seconds and third, you got to play it off like, you got to wait for someone else to get up there and pretend like you just discovered it. And, you know, like, it's tough.
I played with a guy who had to be on the bike extra because his body fat was too high. He was carrying too much weight. And on the road, oh, you know these pregames. Like, there is cookies and ice cream and all sorts of things at the pregame meal. But all eyes were on this guy because he would have a plate to take to his room, and he would put cookies on it, put another plate over top of it. And basically, this guy's a grown-ass man sneaking cookies out of the room.
Right.
Like he's in jail. Out of the meal room.
Yes. That was my first ever conversation with Peter Laviolette. Said, any non-game day, you're here an hour early and you're on the treadmill for 45 minutes before you go out for practice. Every day. I was like, what are you talking about?
You imagine there was a soft serve staring at you while you're on that bike?
I think if he saw, if Lavi, because my roommate became the assistant coach with Lavi, yeah. And my roommate called me up and he's like, look, man, Lavi thinks you're out of shape and get ready for it. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, God. So I hate Lavi before I even meet him. And I'm not kidding you. Lavi was intense, and I swear to you, if he turned the corner and saw my fat ass going around an ice cream machine, he would have tackled me from behind and started fighting me. Like, that's how intense he was.
You know what I picture, which would be hysterical? You talk about a reaction, is the soft serve gets put into the room, and then the trainer's got to go back and tell Lavi, and Lavi goes, which player wanted it? And the guy goes, Jeff O'Neill. Can you imagine his reaction if he heard you were the one advocating for the soft serve?
Worst start ever to a relationship. He was like, 45 minutes every day. And my response was, and it's fact, like I wasn't lying to him. I go, Lavi, you got a giant booger in your nose. And you got to get it out. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he gets this big toonie-sized booger out of his nose. And the next day, he's like, remember, 45, and I know Lavi, and I'm like, by the way, you're flying low, bud. And it just, from there, it was toxic.
Probably not your wisest decision.
Why would you point out a booger, like, the first time you meet somebody? Be like,
it was
hey,
a guy-to-guy thing. Like, he had a giant, the size of a toonie. It was a toonie-sized booger in his nose, and I said, you got to get it out.
You got to let it go. You have to let it go. All right, we'll ask Luke Wilson how that would go over if one of the players basically demanded an ice cream machine in the
NFL. I got to ask, can you please let me ask him about the info first?
All right, yes. We'll get to that more. Luke Wilson will join us next. All right, Thursday nighter tonight, Indianapolis at Denver. Denver's in primetime every single week. Russell Wilson in primetime, but that means Nathaniel Hackett is coaching in primetime.
Did Russ put them in primetime?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whoa.
Look at Luke Wilson. Look at him in studio. What is going on in there?
Yeah, I'm a little lonely here, guys. I miss the guys over here.
I know. Al's brother's in there though, isn't he?
We just had a great chat.
Let me ask you something, okay? Because he seems to be coming over the top rope a little bit in our own personal chat room. Can you explain what that's like for you for a guy named Al's brother to be stopping some of your info, or what do you think in general of the info that he has to offer?
You know, O-Dog, I'll be honest, Emperor Palpatine seems... this guy's got a football mind, and he is a stats guru. I mean, he's saying stats that I can't even... I'm like, whoa, where do you even find that? I'm gonna say we need the real FanDuel odds should be something about the over-under on how long it's going to be until Al's brother is a GM in this league. I mean,
what?
This guy...
Stop it, dude. Get out of here.
Knows so much ball when it comes to... I mean, he's the money ball of the NFL.
Outrageous.
He's the money ball of the NFL.
Outrageous commentary.
It's outrageous. I've got
to
be honest.
If you for an NFL job, I swear to God, I'll pass out and die.
So will I. They'll never see me again. Ever again.
We just agreed in the last hour, Luke, that this guy was he was the best at shining up a turd and making it sound great.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're contradicting that because he will have tremendous information. It sounds amazing. But honestly, there are people that write to our show say, whatever he says, I just go the exact opposite because he finds a way.
And make a fortune. Put the kids to school.
Well, I think when Al's brother gets the call, when they bring him in today, I'm not going to lie. The three picks Al's brother, O-Dog, and myself have, two of them I feel very, very good about. One of them I've been back and forth in that's tonight. I'm having a very hard time figuring out what's going to happen. And yeah, Al's brother, a.k.a. Palpatine, did sway me. He did sway me.
He swayed.
What?
But he, like I said, he's a football mind. He's a teammate. We're rolling with him, O-Dog. We're rolling with him.
This is the issue, though, right? He's a Colts fan. You know, like the Colts.
Yeah.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who was a Colts fan, and he said they are famous for right when you think they suck, that's when they pull the dagger back out, right?
Okay. That's
why. How? By winning?
Yeah, they'll win.
Here's
somehow
my question, Ace, and I know we're going against you here, but how do you think Matt Ryan does tonight?
I think it's average. That's what I expect. He'll be like 17 for 27.
How could you expect anything
yards.
Else?
Yeah, like just it'll be okay. That's what I expect out of Matt Ryan.
I mean, last week he threw for 330.
Mm-hmm.
Now they were down a bunch, so he had to. But it's like, to me, this is one of those weird games where when you take out like Jonathan Taylor, does the offense not get? Hear me out on this. Not get better. Overall, because clearly they don't. But do they get better this week in the sense of, you know what, this run game has been very bad. Jonathan Taylor has not been off to a great year. The O-line's underperforming. Does it happen now where it's like, hey, this team doesn't really know what to prepare for. Maybe we let Matty Ice sling it 45 times.
Well, I think that's asking for a lot out of him. But
That's a fair statement.
Yeah, that might be the game plan. You're right. With Jonathan Taylor out, and, like, they're not going to run the ball to the same capacity he may have to throw. I wonder about Russ, too, right? Like, Russell Wilson feels like he needs to have a game that pops, doesn't it? Doesn't he need a big game here?
He does, and I think he'll get it tonight. Do I think he's going to throw for 350? No. But in my experience playing with Russ on Thursday, he was very good because it's not a traditional game, and the game plans aren't traditional. You know, you play Sunday, you're compacting everything. You barely practice, and if you do practice, it's not at full speed. You never put shoulder pads on. So, and now having Javonte Williams out, I think we're going to see a little bit of the old Russ. Backyard-style football. Extend plays, make things up, make miraculous stuff happen. It's not going to be fluid, but all of a sudden it's like big play, run the ball, big play, touchdown. Mm. And that's, you know, the sad reality is until you see him like week in and week out kind of be a traditional pocket passing quarterback, I don't think he'll ever be that guy. I think this is a chance for Denver to capture something, which is go back in time here and just let Russ kind of make things up. And that's right. Where I think he's his best at.
Luke Wilson with us. I'm sure you heard Tom Brady today say that he's been sitting back watching football. He said it's a lot of bad football. That's what he's seeing. Bad football. Do you agree with that assessment?
When he's, I'm obviously not Tom Brady, but when he said that, I resonated with that wholeheartedly. It's very strange. Like, you know, I'm trying to like not get in. You always hear those like retirees are like, back when I played, I'm like,
right.
I'm not.
What's
that
he
far
referring
removed.
To?
There's just a ton of mistakes. Like the year that we won and the years that we were very good, let's call it 2013 to 2015, 2016, we would like come into games and minimize, like, you wouldn't have a ton of drops in a game. You wouldn't have a lot of penalties. Sometimes we would get very aggressive defensively and be more aggressive penalties. I should say we wouldn't have a ton of false starts, that sort of thing. Or, like, now that I'm sitting back and watching these games on a weekly basis and analyzing them, it's amazing how many teams just, you know, mess up. I was going to say a different word, but we're on radio. And it's just,
good idea.
You know, they just shoot themselves in the foot. And it's like dumb things that you learn, like at Pee Wee football. You know, bad timed penalties. Okay, like unnecessary holding. I get if you're really working hard, you get an arm extended. But it's like, okay, as an offensive player, you know it's a hold and you don't know it's a hold. Like, come on, guys. If you're about to hold, like, just let him go and see if your guy can break the tackle. interceptions, bad, poorly thrown balls, drops. Like, it just consistently adds up. I mean, for me, I think the one of the biggest culprits is the Bills. Like, the Bills should be undefeated. In my opinion, the Bills have, you know, the most talented team. I'd say them and Philly are at 1A and 1B for the most talented team in the NFL. But somehow, the Bills just seem to, like, go out here and make a bunch of, like, mistakes that I don't think are mistakes that other teams are forcing them to make. And it's not just the Bills. I'm being a little tough on them. But that's what I think Tom means when he's like, I'm watching film across the league, and it's, like, very sloppy football, you know? The details aren't there.
We were talking about that, the parity in the league. Like, how many teams legitimately do you think are contenders in the NFL, and the rest are just a bunch of teams playing 17 games?
On a normal year or this year?
This year, like what you're seeing, what Brady said about the parity and all of that.
I would say that this year there's not one. I would say there's probably six contenders, but there's no one that's really, you know, now that I say that, I might even go more. I might say 10. I don't really think there's been a team outside of Philly, and I'm still like, because it's Philly and it's somewhat new, I'm like not 100% sold, but I just feel like every team like has had an opportunity to really separate them and be that squad, and they all just make mistakes. You know, I look at Baltimore. I don't think Baltimore should be in the situation they're at. You know, that defense should not be this bad. The Bills, I mean, I still think they're, like I said earlier, one of the best teams in the league, but it's like they should be blowing teams out every week right now, and they're not doing that. The Rams have looked bad. The Bucks have been so-so. The Packers, week one, looked awful. And even, like, the last couple weeks, like, their win against the Bucks,
they don't look great.
Like, there's no one out here that's like, wow, these teams are playing at a very, very high level.
In terms of the Cowboys and where they're at, this Cooper Rush story is taking over the league, and now they're going into L.A. to play the Rams. That's Fox. That's America's Game of the Week. There'll be 25 million people watching, one of them being Dak Prescott, because we don't believe he's going to play. After that game, they go to Philly the following week, I believe on Monday Night Football. If Cooper Rush goes in there, plays well, plays efficiently, and they beat the Rams,
what happens? I know it sounds nuts, and maybe it's something similar. I mean, to me, it's like a hockey goalie. You know, if you bring a backup in and he's getting shutouts and playing out of his mind and you're winning, I mean, the man's yet to lose a game. And again, it'd be one of those things where if when Dak was in there, the Cowboys were rolling. But they're not, and they haven't been. So it's like Cooper Rush comes in. We've seen the emergence of Noah Brown. CeeDee Lamb is now starting to get hot. The run game looks better. The offense looks very balanced. You know, I hate this term, but I'm going to use it. They're playing complementary football. The defense is playing well. The offense is sustaining drives, keeping the defense off the field. They're getting the odd turnover. Like, I don't know what else. Like, why would you break this up? And I'm not saying that Cooper Rush is the most talented guy in the NFL. But if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm thrilled. And if he goes in and beats the Rams, I mean, how do you bench him?
I'm with you. I mean, you know, Dak is doing it. He's hanging, or he's got to be lurking. Don't you think he's just hanging around, trying to make eye contact with Mike McCarthy? Because he wants to play, understandably so. But I got to think he's feeling a little bit insecure.
Again, it
has to be.
And when I watch the Cowboys with Cooper Rush, and this is not a – it's weird because, you know, as fans you want to pick, like, Cooper Rush versus Dak. Like, who's better? That's not what it's about. It's about winning games. And it's like when I watch the offense with the Cowboys and Cooper Rush playing – it just feels kind of flawless. There's fluidity. It's smooth. Does he have the arm strength that Dak has? Probably not. You know, is he going to run the ball and make, you know, send plays like Dak? Probably not. But it's like, as far as conceptually, it just seems like Cooper Rush is in control of the game. And that's a huge ordeal.
That is. That's the kind of thing Al's brother as a GM would, I think, appreciate.
Yeah. GM right. Al's brother. I like that.
Stick around. We're going to come back with the picks. You and Al's brother can convene one more time, loop in the other guy. We're going to go through the whole slate. The Thursday night or tonight, you're on it. We got another London game. We got six games.
We can't call him the GM, okay?
We can't do that? He's got his claws in me right now.
Yeah.
I'm a young Anakin over here.
You are. So you're Anakin Skywalker.
I got the reference, Hayes. I did. I'm not a diehard Star Wars guy, but I have seen him.
You get it, man. You'll be Darth Vader by the end of the year. You're going to hate football.
Not going to hate football. Hayes, we're about to come back.
No, you're not.
I'm going to say this week we'll be 2-0. We're going to be 2-1.
It's a trap.
All right. We'll come back with the picks. All right. You guys can explain the three-headed monster, where you are leaning tonight, and then we'll go from there. We'll do that next. Broncos tonight, Thursday night football. FanDuel currently has it at Broncos laying 3.5. Denver at home laying 3.5. That's courtesy of FanDuel and the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And we got Luke Wilson in studio. I believe we have Al's brother in there, maybe sharing a mic.
He's making, we're just crunching numbers over here.
Much like a high-ranking official at an NHL draft, they defer to people to run the draft. You guys, you know what you're doing. I'm deferring to you to announce the picks.
Well, I feel like I've been set up now. I feel like I've been set up. I mean, the moment of truth is here, and Al's brother...
He's
in the war room right now. He got a call. Maybe there's, I don't know what's going on. He didn't get a call. Oh, here he comes.
This guy's doing a walk-in right now? He's doing a walk-in, Al's
Look
brother.
Look at this, too.
Like, how is this necessary? Look at this buddy cop film that's developing right
now. We're getting
now.
To
Al's brother and Luke.
Okay, so I'll start. You can hear me here. Originally, I was going with the Broncos. And I'm not saying the Broncos won't win tonight. But I liked Russell to scramble around, make some crazy plays that probably shouldn't happen, and go cover the spread.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was going to be whoever wins the turnover margin wins. And I figured with Chubb, we'll get enough pressure on Matty Ice. There'll be no run game. And Matty Ice will make at least one mistake, which will swing this thing to have the Broncos cover the spread. However, after consulting with the Oracle,
recognized game. I just want to say, you stiffs have no idea what you're talking about. But recognized game, fellas.
Game recognized game. Okay, couple of Super Bowl winners.
I know this is what happened. Like he talked you into taking the Colts, didn't he?
He did.
Oh my God, dude! You have to know better than that.
I couldn't be happier.
His logic is sound. It's sound like he broke it down for me. I'm like, what you're saying is not, it's not, you know, it's
you
factual.
Can't avoid it, man. It's a trance. This guy, he has the ability.
It's tremendous information.
It's tremendous information, right? What does Tommy Boy say? He could sell a butcher or whatever. Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah. Head up a butcher's ass. Yes. I'm telling you right now, by week 8, Luke's going to hate his guts.
Yes.
And he's like poison ivy, and he's just slowly eating away.
What have you done to deserve this?
It starts tonight.
Well,
this is where it starts.
So far hasn't been terrific.
Look at O-Dog's face right now.
Listen to this comment. The fins are frauds. You know how that worked out. Just remember that one. The fins are frauds.
Same team.
That's all
same
I'm saying.
Team.
Seattle, too. Worst team in the league. They're 2-2. Yeah. They won outright.
We've put that behind us. He's due for a big call. He's due.
All right, go ahead. Supply your information now, brother. Why do you think Indianapolis covers tonight?
So I think for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, I don't think the loss of Jonathan Taylor is going to be as abysmal as people think it's going to be. He really hasn't been running the ball as well. He's averaged only 55 yards over the last 3 games. I believe Philip Lindsay will get a chance to run the football. Big revenge game.
Revenge game.
We're all about that narrative here this weekend.
But listen,
this is where I think that they'll be able to run the ball. Last week, they ran the ball against Denver, the Raiders, for 208 yards against the Denver Broncos.
Let them know.
Timeout, okay? What I want to know is when you start spewing this stuff, you just mentioned a backup running back. Have you ever seen the guy run?
You're talking about a two-time 1,000-yard runner, two-time Pro Bowler for the Denver Broncos.
I do like
Philip
Lindsay.
No less than a couple years ago.
I do like Philip Lindsay. I'm not saying he's going to have 100 yards tonight,
okay,
but I do like him.
That's fine. That's all I wanted to hear.
There you go.
I think Matt Ryan is going to have himself a pretty good game tonight because realistically, I'm not sold that that defense is going to be as scary as they could be because there's no Randy Gregory. They're not going to be able to rush the passer as well. Ultimately, this offensive line has been not great so far to start the year, but here's the kicker. I think that the Indianapolis Colts are playing for their coach tonight. I think they're playing for their coach. That has not gone well for Frank Reich. They
Who
love the guy.
Who are you to say that?
Yeah, no kidding.
O-Dog is disgusted right
this
now.
This team is underperforming. Right. Underperforming so much that his job, he's on the hot seat right now. And I think they go in, they get a dub for the coach. Plus, who do you want Nathaniel Hackett on a short week? I don't think so. I'll take the hook and the 3 points. Absolutely.
I actually have Denver winning on a 2 point or 2 minute drive by Russ. To me, it was the spread. I think the Denver will win, but I don't think they'll cover.
You think it's a field goal game, 2 minute drill,
yes,
and they win by three. I could see last possession winning this game tonight.
That
I understand
that. I'll be on that hook that we got this morning because it was three, opened up as three. That hook really persuades me into Indianapolis.
Right,
it
so
really
FanDuel
does.
Oh, are you on board? You on board, man?
I'm on board, boys. I'm on board. Wow. You're on board. I'm on board.
I can't believe this guy took the 49ers.
I couldn't be happier with this because this is the beginning of what I've been saying, right?
I know.
This
That's
is it right now.
Kind of in my back of my mind, too.
This is it, right? Luke came in thinking Denver, and Luke's a Super Bowl-winning football player. And Al's brother has turned him just like Palpatine did Anakin Skywalker. And now, before you know it, he's going to be Darth Vader. Because I've never felt better about Denver possibly blowing out the Colts tonight. Possibly blowing them out.
I just don't see it happening, Brian.
I know you don't.
I
know
don't.
You don't. All right, boys. There you go. The buddy cop film in development right now. Luke Wilson and Al's brother cracking the case of the Colts-Broncos game tonight. Good luck with your pick. We'll do the rest of the picks for the week tomorrow. There it is, Luke Wilson, Al's brother. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050, soon to be up on TSN 2.